Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back. Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. Presented by Crop Metcalf. They are the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. You looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber? Just visit CropMetcalf.com to join their team. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Johnny Cake Sawville and Jason Bishop. EB returns tomorrow after a day off. I'm surprised I didn't get any comments, Cakes. I'm finally wearing your Secret Santa gift.
Yeah, I noticed that.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, because you're a big Luka Doncic mark. So,
I should get that, because that's the name of my dog, Luka.
That's right. It's part of the Secret Santa gift.
At least I'm using it. Wasn't Valdez upset that EB wasn't using his gift?
No. Valdez
or
was
you're not using his
Valdez
gift.
Valdez was mad that I was not using the multiple gifts that he bought me. He got me a 3-pound bag of diabetes, right. Also known as gummy bears.
Okay.
Which I think we've pummeled about half of the bag now that I figured that out that it was I'd left it here at one of the lockers.
Cakes left every one of my gifts in his locker.
But I have
it's a little disrespectful.
You realize I have been using my Capitals Tumblr,
which
he thought that I had given away or just completely had lost. I have it because now we no longer have cups.
But you got pressured into wearing them. I mean, to using them
a little bit. I got a little bit gift shamed by Valdez. Yeah. But I'm happy to use the product. I'm happy to eat so many gummy bears.
Did you drink your beer that I got you?
I did drink the beer, yes.
Did you use your Starbucks gift card?
I have used the Starbucks gift card, yes.
Man.
He went all out. He took care of you, boy.
When I got to me with an Orioles pullover. Which
I did.
I've only used it once. It's very bright.
It's very orange.
It's ridiculously bright, but I could see myself using it like on a golf course.
Cakes can use the tumbler for the 6 ounces of coffee that AWOD got on at 7-Eleven.
Look, I'm very happy that AWOD made a coffee run because – surprise of surprises, the coffee machine here at Entercom is, to use an old man term, on the fritz and needs to be repaired.
Right.
Okay, it's broken down. And that's a crisis when there's no coffee. So AWOD goes out to 7-Eleven right across the street, the busiest 7-Eleven on the planet, and scores some coffee. Now, the only problem with it is I've never seen a worse pour. Now, I have not taken a sip of this coffee. I'm going to pass it to Jason, then pass it to you. Look how full/empty this cup is. Right, be careful.
Pretty tall
cup. Be careful. It's like a 20-ounce plus cup.
Yeah.
Look at how little coffee is in that cup.
Yeah. Wait, was there a spillage?
I don't believe there's any spillage. You just left.
It's 70% full.
But you know what? You know what I want my coffee cup to be?
Just gross.
I want it to be 100% full.
That said,
100%.
You're at the end of the Brazilian blend. I'm sorry.
Okay. Again, thank you first and foremost for getting the coffee. When you get to the end of the Brazilian blend, then you just fill it up with like the house roast.
See, I thought that was like a faux pas. Like, don't mix coffees like that.
I mean, maybe for some real like coffee nerds, that's a thing. But I want as much coffee as you can get.
He doesn't care about the coffee. He just wants the caffeine.
I want the caffeine delivered to me. And I'm sorry. This is woefully, this is maybe me being diva. This is woefully inadequate.
But you'll drink it all. It's a mental thing.
I'll drink every single drop.
It's mental because he had he gone to Starbucks and gotten this cup, which Jason has.
Which I would never do.
I mean, JP just put his fingers in my cup.
Now I realize once I did it. Hold on. There's drama back here about the same thing. Because there's...
AY just went and got food from Chuck Lee. I guess he's here bringing food from other people.
Pamplona,
He brings me a fork and hands it to me like this, Jason. Here you go.
Yeah, I mean,
his sweaty palms covering.
And now we're not talking because he's upset that I yelled at him.
Well, Drab would take tequila shots off my belly button, but he won't eat out of my fork.
What?
Eat out of my fork. That doesn't even make sense.
I don't know what he's talking about.
Well, XTC wrote a song about AWOD. It was called The Mayor of Sympathy.
Right. Well, they wrote it a long time ago. Anyways, that's an old reference.
So they didn't write it about him?
Point is, had he given you a cup that was 12 ounces full,
yes,
you'd have been satisfied with that.
You're missing the point, JP. This is a 20-plus ounce cup that has maybe 13 ounces of coffee in it. I haven't done the exact measurement. Thank you again, AWOD, but this is the world's worst pour. You have to be better. You will be better next time.
AWOD also has stolen valor because he took credit for the coffee run.
Oh, he did?
When Chuck Lee paid for it.
Shocker.
Well, I know.
He wanted it to be known that he was buying the Junk's coffee.
It's very nice of him. But I don't know Chuck Lee very well, but I do know him well enough that if he had gotten this cup of coffee,
it'd be a full pour.
It would be delivered to me. It would be all basically spilling over the top.
Well, you know, his American Express card was so heavy. It was like the most heavy credit card I've ever felt.
What?
Oh, my gosh. I just don't understand
it's just
that
a rich person credit card.
Yeah. Hey, Rod, did you get any?
We understand.
Did you get any of the baby chicks or the steak empanadas or the truffle mac and cheese?
I've got the biggest plate in front of me. Mm-hmm. I'm cheating on my diet.
Yeah, you're killing it.
Empanadas, steak, chorizo, eggs, hash.
What diet? What are you talking about?
The diet.
You weren't laughing when I took 400 off you a couple months ago.
That's true. You did. I was very impressed. But I don't care about it anymore.
Who'd you get your 400 from? Because I wasn't part of that bet. 100 from each of the
Jumps. Yeah.
That's three.
$100.
Who else bet?
I don't know.
AWOD?
No, you're right. It was three.
He can't help but lie.
Yeah.
He exaggerates.
He can't help but lie, and he also can't count. So that's probably part of it.
I still don't know how you got out of that bet, JP. Everyone else was in, and you were talking smack, saying I wasn't going to hit my number.
Again, you're making up. I wasn't there the week that you consummated the bet, and when I returned, I said I didn't want to make the bet. I thought you could lose the weight if you wanted to. You just cut.
If you were here, would you have made the bet?
Probably not. I mean, well, I don't know. Depends.
I didn't think he had the discipline to cut.
I didn't think he had it either.
But he did. He proved us wrong.
I mean, we don't have much money. $400 or $300 is a lot of money.
Hell yeah.
So that's a great incentive.
After the stock market and taxes, I got zippy. I got nothing left.
Down to the felt.
Let's go to Mike real quick on line one. I believe he wanted to chime in on the driverless car.
Sell, sell, sell. Mike, what's up? You're on with the Junks. Good morning.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Yep.
What's up?
I'm not warm and fuzzy. I've been a car guy all my life, just not warm and fuzzy about these self-driving cars. One of the guys mentioned, what if you want to take a nap while you're driving? That's a good point, but if you got to take a nap, take a cab or take a bus or something like that. Driving a car is a convenience. And one of the guys said, he enjoys driving. I enjoy driving, too. Been fixing cars most of my life. I'm in the repair business right now, and there's people out there right now that can't chew gum and walk at the same time, let alone get behind the wheel of a 3,000-pound car know how to handle it.
Well, that's true. But
that's why a driverless car would actually help those idiots.
Yeah, his point was that you would trust the computer over someone who can't drive.
Exactly.
Planes basically land on their own now?
But I'll tell you what.
Aren't planes, they say basically planes can
pretty much
land themselves?
They can, but I think that's like 1%. Maybe like in dire straits they will. I think most airline pilots will land the plane themselves. But I do think they have the technology.
My only argument for driverless cars comes from me driving from my home on the Beltway to MGM National Harbor, I think it was last weekend, roughly a week ago. I'm in the second to left lane. I'm doing 65 to 68-ish, something like that. Very little traffic, just making my way, just trying to get from point A to point B. And there's a clueless human driving a car in my lane. She has slowed down to between 15 and 20 miles per hour because she believes she has missed her exit.
Mm-hmm.
So now she's turtling along in my lane and then creeping into the second from the right lane. But she's taking her sweet time doing it.
Yeah.
And this is on the Beltway. This is not just your random thoroughfare where people are going 25
or 30. She could have caused a 10-car pileup. She easily could have caused
it. Totally could have.
Yeah, yeah.
But luckily, I am a savvy driver, and I realized what was happening in front of me, reduced my speed, swerved a bit around her, had time to check my mirrors to make sure there was no hazard in the left lane. That's my only argument for driverless cars.
You're not a give the finger guy, are you?
No, that's not. I don't do the road rage, but
thing. Jason does that.
I do. Yeah. If they piss me off enough to that level, I have done that.
Yeah.
I'm just banking on the fact that most people don't have guns in their car.
Right.
All right. What are they going to do? They're just going to flip the bird back, or they're not going to do anything. There's no reaction. Maybe they don't even see you.
You and Drabby are documented road ragers. Both of you. I mean, you guys will escalate the situation.
I do have a short temper. I mean, that's just the way I've always
been.
Some guy hoarded me right here on South Capitol Street, so we all park at Homewood Suites, and I took the first left turn out of here, and eventually you merge into, I guess, two lanes of traffic. I was so far ahead of the car behind me, I couldn't believe it's like he gunned to get past me in the right lane instead of just letting me slide in.
Mm-hmm.
And the irony is, then there was a red light. Mm-hmm. Like, he gunned past me to stop 10 feet in front of
me. Nothing makes me happier when people have to red light race, like you're talking about. They just have to get ahead of you, or they won't let you in just to speed up to stop 100 yards further at a red light.
But
it makes me chuckle
like,
inside.
That was a situation where some people would have had road rage, given the guy a finger or whatever. I just kind of laughed. I was like,
right,
this guy's a freaking idiot. I mean, he almost like sideswiped me. He was so desperate to get in front of me.
Yeah.
When I'm pulling out here, and he somehow, and then he had to slam the brakes because it was a red light.
Yeah. He's an idiot. Right. Most people are idiots.
Yes. I agree with
that. Let's go to Rich in Manassas. Richie.
What's up, Rich?
Hey, Junks. How are you this morning?
What's up, man?
What's up?
I wanted to warn you, Lurchy, I'm with you 100%. Cruise control is the bomb, man.
Right.
Especially the best technology with the cruise control today is, I've got a Genesis, so you can actually, it slows down and speeds up when there's a car in front of you now, which makes cruise control unbelievable. That was always the most frustrating thing, is it always had to shut off and go back on.
Right.
But more importantly, in Virginia, I don't know if you know this or not, but there's a ceiling on the reckless driving speed. So everybody goes with that general rule of thumb of 20 miles an hour over, you're kind of safe, you know. But in Virginia, if you're 80 miles an hour, that's the ceiling. So even on a 70 mile an hour road, if you're caught doing 81 or 80, that's reckless.
So if I'm going 80, a cop would pull me over on 81 if I'm going 10 miles per hour over the speed limit?
That's the law. The law in Virginia clearly states 20 miles an hour over with a ceiling of 80. So if you're 80, you're reckless.
Okay, but if I'm 79, I'm fine.
You're fine. But I heard you say I set that puppy to 79, 80. Just make sure you know that that's reckless, because if your speedometer's off a couple miles an hour, you could, you know, if the cops would.
I'm sure at some point I'm going to be pulled over on 81 because my daughter's going to be there hopefully for the next 3 years, and I'm going to make a ton of trips down there, and I'm going to get pulled over doing 80. Now, I'm not going to do 85 on cruise control. I've done 85 to get around a truck or whatever,
right,
but I'll probably get pulled over multiple times. Now, just try and make sure I'm at 79 on the cruise.
Just the price of doing business.
How bitter you'd be if you had a reckless. Remember, EB had a reckless back in the day when we were in Fairfax.
Oh, it would cost me thousands.
Because he drove, I think they gave him 88, but but I think he was well over that.
He was on 66, right?
And yeah, the cop hooked
they
him.
Took his license basically for 6 months. I think he was allowed to drive to work, but mm-hmm. that was it.
Yeah. I would just be so... It would cost me $2,000-$3,000 probably after the attorney.
Can't have it.
Yeah.
Got to keep those speeds down, brother.
I get it.
Coming up next, our pal Alan May is going to join us, Caps analyst on NBC Sports Washington. Caps get an overtime, actually shootout win last night against the Jets. They, of course, have made a couple moves in the last week, so we will talk to Alan May about the Caps and kind of the stretch run heading towards the playoffs in the NHL coming up next here on The Junkies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Can still shut down the party. I can hang with anybody.
Welcome back. Junkies All 106, 7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. You want to catch us on TV? Joined right now by Caps analyst Alan May, who's driven by Dulles Motor Cars in beautiful downtown Leesburg and DullesMotorCars.com. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning, guys.
Alan, was it dumb of me when the Caps got out to the 3-0 lead?
The answer is yes.
To basically think that, look,
the game was over.
The Caps are going to cruise to like a 5-1 win. They're thumping the Jets, who are toward the end of a road trip. They're limping into Capital One. Ovi scores on the night where he's honored by the home crowd for reaching 700 against the Devils last weekend. I thought they're going to cruise to an easy victory. Was that stupid of me?
Well, I don't know if it was stupid of you, but when you watched the game last night, they should have been up 7-0 early. The goaltender for Winnipeg, Brassard, I thought was phenomenal. And the Cavs got up 3-0, and they just found a way to get that one ugly goal in Winnipeg, and all of a sudden, you know, you're starting to play a little bit too much of a defensive shell. Winnipeg gained some confidence, and it's never over till it's over. They got a lot of firepower on their team. They've got a lot of speed, and their goaltender kept coming up with big, big, big saves when they needed it. And ice got ugly as the game went on. Winnipeg turned it into kind of a slug match down below the goal line. And I just thought, you know, it's never over till it's over. It's a 60-minute game. Last night, 65 minutes. I did not think it was over because Winnipeg just kept coming in waves.
Alan, if my spotty memory serves me correctly, that first kind of weird goal that you're talking about was Holtby made the initial save, and he squeezed his pads, and then the puck just... It just squirted out like it appeared to be less than a foot away from his pads. It was just an easy tip in there for the Jets player. I can't remember who got the first goal, but it was a weird goal where it looked like Holtby had it, and then all of a sudden the puck just appears and gives the Jets that little sliver of an opportunity that they took advantage of.
Well, what was even weirder was how that puck ended up getting into the slot for Cody Eakin to shoot it in the first place. It was wrapped around the boards. It bounced right into the middle of the ice. And Cody Eakin's all by himself there, takes that shot. And I thought it was a save for sure, and then all of a sudden it comes flying out of the five. Well, not flying, slowly rolling. And, you know, Holtby thought he had it. It was in there. And then Nikolai Ehlers, as he comes from the post, he finds an empty puck. That never happens. I haven't seen a puck squeak out like that of Braden Holtby. You see pucks go through the five hole, but that one came back out. It was a very bizarre goal, but there were players starting to fall all over the place. And that time of the game, I think it was Jensen fell on a one-on-one coverage just out of the blue, and then Michael Kempe fell in coverage, the same type of situation, and then that funny bounce. And Winnipeg had to think that the hockey gods were starting to roll their way.
Alan, do you think Holtby's starting to play a little bit better? I mean, when you look at the stats for the year, they are not impressive at all. I mean, when you look at goals against average, save percentage, but is he starting to play a little bit better?
Well, I look at the stat of 22 wins is pretty impressive.
Yeah.
And, you know, the team has been very porous defensively. Last night, the breakaway that was on him, that was a goal by Kyle Connors, was the 50th breakaway against Holtby this season. If I'm reading the stats correctly, there's only one site out there that tracks it. And I've said that there's been no goalie that's had more breakaways. And I think I'm very close to being correct on this one. But, you know, he last night was phenomenal. I thought he was phenomenal against Pittsburgh. The glove was going. He's keeping his team in his games. Even on that road trip where they were losing, where they lost some games, it was Holtby that was keeping those games close, because there was a disconnect between the forwards and the defense. There was a gap in the play. Defense were letting, you know, players sneak behind them and not adapting at the right time. And the one good thing is that he was battling hard. So his play is better of late. Goals against are up in the league this year. But I have not been down on him all year. I just think he continues to battle. Sometimes the goaltenders lose their confidence and they'll crack for a little while because the team's letting them have way too many high danger chances, and not just high danger chances where the pencil heads are tracking these things. There's the quality of high danger chances that teams have had against him. It's just absolutely unfair. But last night we saw the team play a lot better. We saw a lot better against Pittsburgh. Not so good in New Jersey, but it's coming around. And I think they're all starting to rev it up here and should have some confidence gained after beating Pittsburgh and after finding a way to win last night against Winnipeg.
Alan, you touched on the condition of the ice last night at Capital One Arena. Was that just like a one-off because it's been warm of late, or is this something that's going to continue the later we get into the season as the temps get warmer here in the D.C. area?
Well, that building has so many different events, and I know the ice crew works as – you know, they work and they work and they take a lot of pride in it, but there's sometimes the elements are just against them. It got really chalky last night. There's so many, you know, different events in there. There's concerts, the basketball games, and sometimes it gets the better of you. Yesterday was very humid with the rain, and it was a sticky situation on the ice out there. And when you see the ice start to turn as quick as it does, instead of staying glassy looking, you know you're in trouble. But all of a sudden, you know, both teams are playing on it, so it's not really an excuse, but things start to happen. That puck was bouncing all over the place last night. Probably helped the Caps other times, because when Winnipeg's players were flying in that third period, the puck wasn't cooperating with them a lot. So, you know, it can help you, it can hurt you, but it is your home ice, so you just have to adapt to it.
Joined by Alan May, Caps analyst, driven by Dulles Motor Cars in beautiful downtown Leesburg and DullesMotorCars.com. All right, so got to see Brendan Dillon for a few games. What's your assessment thus far and how he fits into the team?
Well, I've been watching him forever. He played for the Dallas Stars for, I think, 3.5 seasons, then moved on to San Jose. And he's a physical, tough customer. And I like the fact, you know, the first few games, the coaches give them so much information. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's still hockey, but there's tweaks in every system, the way they want you to handle things. And I thought, you know, he was, you know, out there not making mistakes, but things were happening. The team was, you know, still struggling with confidence. That one defensive defenseman's not going to turn everything around overnight. And I thought the game in Pittsburgh, he played exactly how I've seen him play his entire career. Last night he was big hits again, and you know he keeps players honest when you hear that. Just as Tom Wilson, I don't know if you saw that altercation last night. All of a sudden, Tom Wilson comes flying into the picture, and it was like the police running to the scene of a crime. All of a sudden, everyone scattered and start running the other way, but you know, Dillon keeps him honest on the backside. Tom Wilson keeps him honest up front. So he is going to be a rough, tough customer. He's really good in front of the net. He's an upgrade on the penalty kill. He knows what his role is. And if he's playing belligerent out there, that's exactly what he should be doing. So there's a lot to like about him. And I think as time goes on and he learns more about John Carlson and more about the system, he's just going to keep getting better and better.
Alan, what did you make of Kovalchuk's debut in his Caps sweater last night? He gets nearly 15 minutes of ice time. He was denied in his shootout attempt, but he put a nice hit on, I can't remember who the Jets player was, but he basically de-skated him right near the boards. What did you think of Kovalchuk's debut?
Well, I'm a huge Colby fan, and I thought he was excellent last night. His line had instant chemistry with Hagman and Lars Eller, and they had a lot of high danger scoring chances. I thought that was the line that really, I believe they had the most scoring chances last night. I thought they gave the Jets fits. A couple things he'd like to have back, the pass to John Carlson, where the player snuck off the bench, Nikolai Ehlers, before he scored that. Was Cal Connor Ehlers scored that breakaway goal. It was beautiful. But he threw the puck back thinking they were still in the power play. Player sneaks off the bench and intercepts just before the puck gets to Carlson. But I like this play. He seemed to fit in the system. He's so much more responsible of a player than when he broke into the league in Atlanta way back in the early 2000s. I give him a passing grade last night, and too bad he didn't score in the shootout. I believe he is one of the all-time best NHL players in the shootout and has maybe the highest success or percentage of success. So we'll see a lot more of him, and you know, it's only going to get better and better. He's trying to fit in with his new team. I thought he was tough on the wall, going all the right places defensively. And it looks like he's, you know, dialed in and wants to win and do anything he can to help out.
Alan, were you surprised in the shootout for the Jets when they needed a goal at the end that Ehlers opted for the slap shot instead of trying to get in closer on Holpe? Holpe made what appeared to be a pretty standard, easy save to win the game for the Caps.
I was surprised, but I wasn't, but because Nikolai Ehlers has never scored in the shootout ever in his National Hockey League career. It's been around a while now, but you try whatever you can. I've seen players go down and use that and score under the bar, score on a slap shot. I got no problem with it, but I don't know why he didn't stick to the move that he used earlier. He's a phenomenal hockey player, but at the same time, as soon as he wound up, I knew he wasn't going to score, and it was lights out.
All right, so how do you feel about the next game in Winnipeg? Kind of a weird stretch of the schedule here. You got the home and home, back-to-backers. They'll be in Winnipeg tomorrow. How do you feel about that?
Well, they did so many things well last night, and they were getting pucks in below the goal line, creating offense from corner to corner, puck movement. And late in the game, there was one play where they were doing that, and a puck bounced over the stick of TJ Oshie, and Winnipeg comes back and scores. But I thought the last two games, they were the better team for the majority of the game, making the defensive move, getting forwards back, not allowing, you know, the defenders or offensive players to sneak behind the defense. That's on the defense sometimes. And they had a good, you know, tightness of forwards closer to the D, so there wasn't as big a gap. If they continue to do the things they've been working on the last few games, which are the thing that Todd Reardon wants them to be doing, they're going to have success. But they've got to stick to that game plan. And everyone was dumping the puck in deep last night. Everyone was using that cycle play behind the net where they were pushing it corner to corner, separating the defense of Winnipeg. It's not going to change overnight because they had about a month of ugly hockey, maybe a little bit longer. But if they can continue doing that, it will only get better and better. So I like their chances. But they've got to do it right from the start of the game. First puck drop, get those pucks in deep, and battle back as a five-man defensive unit.
Should we expect Holpe in the net tomorrow?
I would be surprised if he wasn't, because you know he kind of owns the Winnipeg Jets, and he's played well up there. I think he was 14-2-2 going into last night. I see so many numbers, but it was like 14-2-2 or 12-2-2. So I would expect him to go in net and continue with the hot hand.
Why didn't I take the Devils last night? They were playing the Red Wings.
I don't know why you didn't. Why wouldn't you do that?
I'm asking Alan May, why didn't I do that?
Missed out.
You know what?
Yep.
I told you a long time ago I would never bet hockey because it's just too hard.
Yeah.
And, yeah, when you got money on the line, it's a lot harder to handicap these things. But it's, you know, how can you pick between the Devils and the Wings in
tough
situation like that?
Well, that's a good point about hockey because so the Maple Leafs couldn't beat an emergency goalie. Right, who drives a Zamboni, but then they can go into Tampa, who won like 100 in a row a few weeks ago, and they beat them. Can't predict it. Impossible.
No, that actually might have been an easier bet because they were so humiliated the other night that they played against the emergency goalie for half the game.
Right.
That you would have thought that everyone was on notice with the coach that you've got to, you know, put so much more into the game because I do find it embarrassing that they lost that game in the way they lost it. On Saturday night, great story, but they definitely should have done more to go after that goaltender that they know well because He actually comes in and fills in for them at practice.
Right.
And believe me, a guy that's a part-time goalie is nowhere near as good as your guys that are there every day.
Alan, late congrats on being named to TSN's trade deadline day Mount Rushmore, along with Mike Gartner, Lee Stempniak, and Thomas Vanek. Very good.
Now what does that mean?
Yep. Thank you, guys. I appreciate it. I wish it was for Stanley Cup rings, though, not being traded on the trade deadline.
How many times were you traded at the deadline?
Four times.
Wow.
A couple of times teams wanted me, a couple of times teams didn't want me.
Which one of the four pissed you off the most?
I don't know. Actually, the first one where I got traded in my hometown because it was they were too damn good. I came from the Boston Bruins, went to the Edmonton Oilers. I grew up as a season ticket holder there. But when I looked at the right side, it was 50-goal scorer, 60-goal scorer, 70-goal scorer. All on one team at the same time. And then maybe the biggest, baddest, tough guy in the league at the time, and Marty McSorley. So I just looked at it. I go, I want to play in the NHL. These guys are going to continue winning Stanley Cups. And it's going to be hard to make the team. And I just thought it was a tough road for me. I was right. I played three games there. Unfortunately, they traded me, and I eventually ended up here in Washington. So I guess it doesn't all work out bad. It just, you know, the road to where you want to go, it doesn't get you there exactly how you plan. So it's just great to be in the NHL, and I was lucky. I was traded four times. I guess I wear it as a badge of honor in the National Hockey League.
Were those guys good guys in the locker room, the Oilers?
Oh, the best. Oh, you know what? Most everywhere I was, guys were great. But that team was they had so many superstars, Gretzky, Curry, Messier, Anderson. I think there's seven or eight Hall of Famers from that team alone. They won five Stanley Cups together, and they couldn't have been cooler guys. They knew everything about everyone they played with, everyone in the league before there was the internet. And to this day, when I see all of those guys, they're still the most amazing guys around.
Did they win the Stanley Cup the year that you played three games for them?
And they actually did. They beat the Boston Bruins, the team I came from. And they blanked them 4-0, and it was Gretzky's last Stanley Cup in Edmonton before the horrific trade for the Oilers and the best trade that ever happened for the National Hockey League.
So do you get a ring for that? I mean, three games you played for?
Way back in the day, teams were handing those things out like Ted Leon just did in the Chicago Blackhawks.
Well, we know that because we got one, and we certainly don't deserve one.
Right.
Yeah. Back then, you didn't even get a tracksuit from your team, or you know, it was ridiculous what was going on. It treated you like the NCAA, so it's completely different world. Just that every facet of the game on the ice is the same off the ice.
All right, Alan. It's Alan May. We'll talk to you next week. Of course, he's driven by Dulles Motor Cars, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, Kia, and Subaru. Experience the Dulles difference in beautiful downtown Leesburg at DullesMotorCars.com. Thanks, Alan.
Take care, guys.
All right, man. Buddy.
Traded four times. Boom. But at least you're in the NHL.
You're in the NHL, yeah.
That's huge.
Living out your dream.
Huge.
Good for
accomplishment.
Him.
All right, remember, coming up at 9 o'clock, J.P. Finley is going to join us. We will talk some Redskins and Combine with him. That's at 9 o'clock here in the Junks.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there
there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Welcome back to the show. Junk's on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington.
We just decided we're going to play Junkie Shootout at 9:25.
Yes.
Your chance to win tickets to go see the Washington Wizards in action. Tickets are on sale now. Details at thefandc.com. So that's coming up at 9:25 after we talk to JP Finley from NBC Sports Washington. We'll get into the Redskins with him. Latest Redskins rumblings, combine, draft, and more. That's at 9 o'clock. But right now, it's Cakes' entertainment page.
It is, yes.
And I think he's efforting more stories.
I am. I told Awad, I said I need probably one more story, run it in here at some point during the EP, and then I had to get in. He'll probably only bring in 65 or 70% of the story to dovetail on
coffee callback.
The coffee cup not being filled nearly enough.
I thought we were going to recap the Democratic debate in South Carolina from last
night. Well, I mean, you can do that because I know you watched from
start to finish.
So,
and all the post-debate coverage.
The floor is yours. Give me your top takeaways from the Dems debate in Charleston last night.
I could have died of boredom. If it was possible to die of boredom, that would have been my cause of death.
How many candidates could you name? There were seven.
Oh, this is a good one. Let's go tit for tat. Let's do it right now.
I can name seven.
Well, I know you can because you get into boring politics.
I didn't watch it, actually. I can't pronounce a couple of last
names. JP took notes during the debate.
Of course he did.
The gay dude, Buttigieg.
Buttigieg.
All right, so you lead off with Buttigieg.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't know the town he was the mayor of.
South Bend.
Oh, look at this.
Come on, man. He's a big Mike Bray fan.
Look at your political knowledge.
I watched the whole thing. Start to finish.
All right. I'm
Buttigieg.
All right. So you've taken Buttigieg, right. I believe is how you pronounce his name.
Right.
Not that it matters because he's not going to be the next president.
Right.
So I'm going to go with somebody that I know that you know was on the stage.
Right.
Bernie.
And Bernie's coming to Loudoun County Saturday. I can't wait. I'm going to be the first guy at the rally and the last guy to leave.
Yes, have your signs and everything ready to go.
He's coming to the National Conference Center at Lansdowne.
All right, so we got Bernie, you got Buttigieg. All right, you're up next.
All right, I'll say, again, I can't pronounce the last name, Kaloralora?
Klobuchar?
Yeah, Klobuchar. No, it's the girl. I don't know. I can't pronounce her last name.
All right, you're in. So we got three of the seven so far.
Kaloralora.
Right. I'm going to go next with the guy who's wasting $500 million on his campaign because
right.
He's a big stupid, Mike Bloomberg.
Right.
I mean, what are you doing? I understand you're worth $62 billion, and when you're done, you'll be worth $61 billion. But why would you light $1 billion on fire? Eric Bickle wouldn't even light $1 billion on fire.
By the way, he's probably not worth $61 billion anymore with the stock market. It's probably down to like right. $55 billion.
His net worth is just going up in smoke.
He's old as hell.
It is just a waste of money, though.
I can't believe we're talking this much politics.
We're
just rattling off who we know is on the stage last night.
It's not like you're talking about the issues.
The floor is yours.
I'm sure Bernie's not old.
Yeah. So, how many are left?
You have three left.
All right. Well, definitely Elizabeth Warren was there.
Correct.
All right.
I know nothing about this person other than he's a billionaire. He's butt rich. I think he's from California. And you have a better chance of being president. Tom Steyer?
Steyer.
Yes.
I don't know that I can pull the seventh. I'm trying. Hold
it's
on.
Obvious.
Is it Y.E. Yang? Is he the seventh?
No, he dropped out. He said finish.
I think he skipped.
You know what? He's smart.
Hold on. So we got Bernie. We got Buttigieg. Klobuchar. Bloomy. Warren. And Steyer.
You got to skip Joe Biden.
Oh, of course.
Biden. Well, he's not going to win either.
He's very forgettable.
He stinks, too.
Very forgettable. I, I saw a clip of Tom Steyer's. I don't know, he was at some campaign rally.
Okay.
And it was like in a closet.
So there was plenty of room.
Like, there was like four people there.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking, why is Tom Steyer still in this race?
Right.
He's just wasting cash.
Like I was telling Jason, if I were Mike Bloomberg or any billionaire and I had $61 billion, I would channel the main character in Office Space and I would do nothing.
Right.
I would do so much nothing. You wouldn't know. You would look at that guy and be like, he's doing nothing. And I would say, yes, because I'm worth $60 billion. I can afford to do nothing.
If I was worth $6 million, I would do nothing. The last place I would be if I was had $6 million in the bank is in this seat.
Yes, correct. In D.C.
Do you think I would drive to D.C. every morning at 4:30 in the morning if
I know
I had $6 million in the bank?
No. I know you would not.
And I know if I had $60 billion, I wouldn't give the ad agency $500 million. That's impossible.
You wouldn't show up on a stage and debate with six other dopes about trying to win the Democratic nomination.
Jason, by the way, if you see a 6'5" pasty white dude at the Bernie rally, it's me.
That's correct.
Well, if you go to the Lansdowne Conference Center, you're going to be the only person there because it's at the St. James.
Oh, it is.
Oh, okay. Well, then that was changed.
They changed it.
Okay.
Apparently.
That's all right. Well, that just means I go to the St. James.
so
I haven't been there in a while.
So Bernie
get
on Sanders, the golf simulator. Yeah, Bernie Sanders is going to go play some squash.
I'll hit balls for an hour, and then I'll listen to Bernie. All right.
Feel the burn.
All right, so he's moving it out of Loudoun County.
All right, you know
County.
What? That's enough politics. Okay. We're moving past that. I'm going to entertain you now.
All right, go ahead. Start.
I thought that was entertaining.
Lead story.
The Super Bowl halftime show prompts more than 1,300 FCC complaints.
Bunch of losers.
The complaints came from viewers in 49 states who were not fond of Shakira twerking and J-Lo twisting around a pole in her skimpy outfits. One complaint said, quote, how can they put this on when children are watching? How is a strip club act allowed as a halftime show on the biggest watched game of the year? And here's another. This is a viewer from Tennessee. I do not subscribe to the Playboy channel. We do not buy porn for $20 a flick. We simply wanted to sit down as a family and watch the Super Bowl.
How about you change the station if you're so uptight?
The most complaints came from what state, Jason Bishop? 140.
100 for California.
Texas.
I was going to say somewhere south.
So a bunch of uptight donks in Texas did not like the Super Bowl halftime
losers.
Entertainment.
They're just losers. And who'd they complain to?
The FCC.
Yeah. The same people that are going to complain about you dropping the F-bomb on the show at some point. Same people.
Yeah.
FCC.
And it's happened before.
You're going to have to deal with that.
Bickle does it all the time.
ABC's The Bachelor just put out a casting call for seniors. Are you entering your golden years and looking for romance? The producers of The Bachelor are looking for active and outgoing single men and women in their golden years for a new, exciting dating show.
Yes, Cakes. I thought you were going to use the line, grumpy old men meet golden girls.
Well, it's definitely here.
I know it
but
is.
But I pivoted. I don't have to read every single cheesy line that's presented to me.
When they have their one-on-one dinners, are they going to be at 4:30?
We can only hope.
In the fantasy suites, that's just gross.
The Bachelor offshoot.
Have a plate of Viagra.
Yeah. Blue Chew. Go to BlueChew.com. I need to get that endorsement back up and running, Valdez. The Bachelor offshoot that it's not really working for me at this point is the one where they're going to put couples together that are musically inclined,
yes,
like a guitar player and a singer, and they're going to do duets together, and then they fall in love or fight with each other. I don't know that if I'm into that.
I don't think you're going to be into the senior one either.
Probably won't be into the senior
because
version.
Part of the attraction of The Bachelor and The Bachelorette is they're attractive people.
Yeah, you're looking at young sillies. You're not looking at grandmas. No offense. I mean, older single people need to find connections with people.
JP, when are Negan and Alpha going to be on The Bachelor?
They're not.
They're not? All right. Then I probably won't watch it.
Yeah. But you did watch Negan and Alpha get it on with the mask.
It looked like that was a body double for Negan because they didn't show his face. You think that was a body double?
I don't know. I mean,
it wasn't a body double for her. This is a big hard thing she is.
I mean, they didn't really show any sex. They showed
them making out. They were naked, hugging each other, making out.
Right.
Right. I'm sure that was fun for him.
Jason, I know you wish you had this sort of money. I'm just going to read the headline. Hot Pocket heiress will face jail time for involvement in Varsity Blues college admissions scandal. So you know the one that swept up Lori Loughlin and Felicity Huffman? Well, apparently, a member of the family that sold... Somebody came up with the brilliant idea of Hot Pockets. I don't know how many years ago. Mm-hmm. I don't know how long they've been on the market. Mm-hmm. But Nestle said, we like your idea. We're going to buy your Hot Pockets concept. You know what Nestle bought Hot Pockets for probably 20 years ago?
No idea.
What they paid one family that came up with the Hot Pockets concept. $2.4 billion.
Incredible.
$2.4
billion
for a pepperoni pizza frozen pod that you stick into a microwave. That's a $2.5 billion idea.
I thought you were talking about the little hand warmers you put in your pockets when you go
to
the game.
No, no.
You talking about the food?
No, Richie. I'm talking about the food.
Jim Gaffigan did a huge bit on Hot Pockets.
The food.
Jason's a dog. Yeah.
I mean, everybody's had a Hot Pocket
before. What do they call those things?
The hand warmers.
They're just called hand warmers?
That's what I know them by.
I thought they were all Hot Pockets. They're hot, you put them in your pocket. I mean, Jesus. Why aren't they called Hot Pockets?
Well, these Hot Pockets are better because they're stuffed with like pepperoni or meatballs and cheese.
I haven't had one of those maybe ever.
They're called Hot Hands.
Okay.
Hot Hands. So anyway.
They're going to be called Hot Pockets for the rest of the show's existence.
Every time he goes to MGM National Harbor.
Yeah, get the Hot Hands. Yeah. Exactly. Hot Hands. So anyway, the heiress paid the scammer that was running the admission scam, like, 200 large to get her daughter into USC to be a beach volleyball player.
Right.
Except she doesn't know what a volleyball looks like. She plays on Bung Bung Beach.
Right.
So, it's the big takeaway is it's good to be in the Hot Pockets business.
Gotcha.
Not the
hand
Hot
warmers.
Hands business.
Right. Well, it's good to be in that business, too, I'm sure.
Probably good to be in that business,
too.
We got
boxes of them in our garage.
I'm sure you do. I don't know why. It's 50 degrees out every day during winter.
All right, coming up next, JP Finley.
Just wait
Finley.
Until I'm going to softball games and it's 38 degrees.
Right. From NBC Sports Washington will join us. We'll get the latest on the Redskins, the Combine, the Draft, and more right here on the Junkies.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.